heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first. But when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and had been done to him. The crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to bear witness. The reason why the crowd went to meet him was that they heard he had done this sign. So the Pharisees said to one another, "You see that you are gaining nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." God's word from John chapter 12. And so military victory celebrations have been around for centuries and centuries and centuries. In fact, there's even artwork done by somebody that of Marcus Claudius Marcellus, one of the Roman generals, in 223 BC, returning to Rome after a great victory. And so we can even look, you know, in our country's own history of some of the victory celebrations that we've had, you know, in our nation's capital, World War II, you know, VE Day, which we celebrate next month when we, victory in Europe, we had a big military victory celebration, a parade. And then the last one that I just learned was that the last time we've had one of those in Washington, D.C. was the Gulf War in 1991 when we were victorious there. We had a celebration parade for the troops coming home. And so the same goes for the Bible times. When the men of that country went out to battle, when they came back, they were greeted as they come back, celebrated, worshiped, praised, honored as they came back victorious back into town. And so this is exactly the kind of scene we see here on that very first Palm Sunday. Jesus has gained a huge following, which has only grown even more after he raised Lazarus from the dead, which was only like a week ago before Palm Sunday. And so these people wanted to go out. They heard Jesus was coming in to Jerusalem. They wanted to go out and meet him and praise him. They're cutting down palm branches. A palm branch is a symbol of victory, by the way. That's why they're cutting down palm branches. They're taking off their cloaks, laying it on the ground so that the donkey didn't even have to step on the ground. And they were yelling, "Hosanna," which means "save us now." And so they were all excited. And there were a ton of people in Jerusalem at this time because this was the week of Passover. So there's a lot of Jewish people that have come to Jerusalem. So that even intensified it even more. There were probably thousands and thousands of people welcoming Jesus into Jerusalem on that Palm Sunday. So make no doubt about it. Palm Sunday was a victory parade. Except for one odd detail. Jesus was riding on a donkey. Yes, here is a picture of the noble donkey. This is an odd detail because kings and victorious generals would usually come in on a big horse that stands, you know, tall and mighty with the leader on top above everybody else. And so these people were coming out and greeting Jesus and worshiping like he was a king because he was going to deliver them and they were going to go back to the glory days of King David when Israel didn't have to fear anybody or answer to anybody. See, this guy was going to save them from the Romans, and they were going to be the kingdom that would never be defeated. Except for this odd detail, this donkey that Jesus rode in on. It's a donkey that had never been ridden, we learned from Scripture. It was a colt of a donkey, actually, and it was brand new, never been ridden. First time was carrying Jesus. And this donkey is no horse. See, this donkey has not been in a war. It's not impressive. It's a donkey. The beast of burden. And we're told in this John chapter 12 passage that I just read that the disciples didn't understand what was going on here. See, the disciples were confused as they usually were. They were focusing on the palms. They were definitely getting caught up in the hoopla of the thing. Could you imagine? They were probably thinking some big thoughts, you know, wow, this is pretty cool. The guy we've been following for 3 years getting praised like it. We're going to get great positions in this new kingdom. Look at how everybody loves him. And see, this was a very easy and comfortable time to follow Jesus. Jesus was at the height of popularity on this day. Never been higher. Never had more people excited about Jesus than this day. And so that got me to thinking, you know, it's really easy to follow Jesus when everything's going well in our lives and everything is easy, right? But what happens if our faith in Jesus is challenged? Like what happened to those disciples later that week when their faith in Jesus was challenged? They all deserted Jesus. But what happens when your faith in Jesus is challenged by maybe something bad happening in your life? Some tragedy or whatever. Or you are confronted with the ideology in our country that God's word doesn't matter. You know, we continue to push God's word aside and further away from everything. And we're told it really doesn't matter anymore. Arizona Christian University did a survey that found that 60% of the Christians they surveyed believe that Jesus, Buddha, and Muhammad are all equal in regard to salvation. 60% of people that identify as Christians said this. By the way, Buddha and Muhammad are still in the grave. And 48% of the people that they surveyed believe that you can be saved and get to heaven if you do enough good stuff. People, again, this is serious. These are Christians saying these things, or at least people that call themselves Christians. You know, with this kind of thinking, we really don't need to have a parade for a guy coming into town. Because we don't really need him. This is serious stuff here. Up on the screen, the disciples didn't understand what kind of victory celebration this was because they were focused on the palms and not that donkey. This odd little detail to this whole event. And so then I got a question for you. How often do you get caught up in the palms, the fanfare, the awards, the bonus at the end of the year, the prestige, the salary, the grades, the teams? How often do you get caught up in that stuff and miss the donkey You know, we're no different than these disciples. So we know about the palms, the shouting, the cheering. But we really need to be focusing our eyes from those palms to that donkey. Because this donkey actually points out who the real enemies of Jesus were. So you may not be asking, you know, who are or who were Jesus' enemies? Well, a couple of them are obvious. The first one being the Romans. They're the ones that are actually going, that have the power to execute Jesus on that cross. So this is an obvious answer to this question, who are Jesus' enemies? His own people are his enemies, the Pharisees, the religious leaders. Remember, we've been talking about them the last couple of weeks. They are jealous of Jesus. They don't like that Jesus has this huge following. They don't like that these people are out there worshiping this guy, yelling Hosanna to him. They don't like it. In fact, these Pharisees would get these same people that are yelling Hosanna to a few days later yelling, crucify him. His enemies are not just his own people. What were these enemies fueled by? In particular, these Pharisees and religious leaders. What were they fueled by? Jealousy, fear, hatred, anger. You know, when we look at this whole passion narrative, it can be easy, and I've mentioned this before, to get really mad, you know, at the Pharisees and those religious leaders that did this to Jesus. But remember what I said. Jesus is in control. And we are no different than those Pharisees. You see, we a lot of times are also fueled by jealousy, fear, hatred, anger. See, these things, these enemies of Jesus, maybe hit home a little bit harder. I look at the jealousy and I think of my own jealousy of all those people that are in Florida on spring break this week. And why am I not there? This is to all those that are watching right now. But think about your own lives. How often are you jealous of somebody? How often do you let fear rule your life? How often does hatred fuel you? Or the anger? You know, these sins all come from the darkest places of our hearts and our minds. And that's exactly what Satan does. He tempts all of us to give in to these sins. He wants us to focus on the jealousy, the hatred, the fear, the anger, the gossip, the greed, the whatever. And the last great enemy that we all face, we all have one last enemy, is death. And we've brought this up before in the last couple weeks also. Because of our sin, we are going to die. And this is the punishment for our greed, our jealousy, our hatred, our anger, our go down the list of the commandments. And everything else that put Jesus on that donkey on Palm Sunday. And how does Jesus go into battle against these enemies that you and I also have? Not talking about the Pharisees or the Romans. He comes in on a donkey, an animal that represented peace and humility, not war. It was an animal that conveyed gentleness, not violence and bloodshed. Because Jesus is the one that is going to experience the violence and bloodshed for each and every one of us, because see, he was coming in to defeat death, our greatest enemy, once and for all. which is why Jesus went through the beatings, the mockings, the beard plucking, the spitting, the flogging, the having a crown of thorns shoved into his head, and then being nailed to the cross. That's the kind of king we have, which is why he came in on a donkey. Some of you may have heard this before, but I wanted to share this with you. There's a legend about the donkey. It says this: a poor farmer near Jerusalem owned a donkey far too small to do much work at all. He felt that he couldn't afford to feed a worthless animal like this, one that could do him no good whatsoever. So at the supper table, he told his family that he was going to kill the donkey. His children, who loved the little donkey, begged him to sell it rather than harm it. But the farmer said it's wrong to sell an animal that can't do a good day's work. Then his oldest daughter suggested, "Father, tie the donkey to a tree on the road to town and say whoever wants it may take it for nothing." And the next morning, that's what the farmer did. Soon, two men approached and asked if they could have the donkey. "It can carry almost nothing," the farmer warned them. "Jesus of Nazareth has need of it," they said. The farmer couldn't imagine what a great teacher would want with such a worthless donkey, but he handed it over. The man took the animal to Jesus, who stroked the grateful donkey's face and then mounted it and rode away. So it was on the day we call Palm Sunday. Jesus led his followers into the city of Jerusalem riding on the back of a small, common donkey. The donkey so loved his gentle master that he later followed him to Calvary. Grief-stricken by the sight of Jesus on the cross, the donkey turned away, but couldn't leave. It was then that the shadow of the cross fell upon the shoulders and back of the donkey, and there it stayed. All donkeys have borne the sign of the cross on their backs since that very day. This is a picture of one of those donkeys. You see, the disciples eventually understood what was going on later on after Jesus rose and then ascended into heaven. Because of the Holy Spirit enlightening them, they soon figured out what this victory parade was all about. That Jesus came on this donkey to defeat sin, death, and the devil once and for all. So the last thing I have for you is we are all victorious because of the Lamb on a donkey. And so perhaps we should call this Donkey Sunday. So I wish you a happy Donkey Sunday. Might be hard to wave donkeys around in the air, but this is what it's all about. This is how much our Savior loves us. And we are celebrating a Savior in a parade that's never going to end. And I leave you with this from Revelation. "After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb who came in on a donkey.'" Amen.